Okay, I'll play an air then. Which is another name for Ireland, you know. Really, it's I suppose symbolic of the love that the Irishman has for his homeland. So
yeah, I noticed you were doing some things with the fingers there, easing off of the holes.
Right, I was kind of slurring the notes. I don't have a key on the bottom of this chance to get that. I needed to get an F note there that I just didn't. And get on it, and but so I'm slurring the notes, sort of getting, squeezing them out more or less. And they would call it slurring the notes, you know.
And also the
tremolo, obviously, tremolo. You know, yeah, right. And in airs, like, you know, you won't use triplets or grips or, you know, or grace notes or stuff like that. And too much anyway. I've used a couple of them, maybe you shouldn't do it, but I mean, I suppose.
Detracts?
Well, yeah. I wouldn't say detracts. Oh, no, it's great to be able to do it. I think, you know, I'm probably not able to do all of that. You know, some fellas like, I have to work here, and I have to work for a living, and the only time I get to play pipes is when I come home from work, if I, you know, feel in the mood to play and can tune them up and get them in halfway decent shape. Most of the other pipers that I just mentioned, they're all, you might say, professional pipers. They're playing all the time, not alone that they're in Ireland, where, they're, you know, the relativity of Irish music is more... You know, it's right there for them. They can go right there and get it, and they can travel all over to these festivals and then go there. I mean, just to come here, it's about 600-700 mile trip from Detroit. 600-700 miles, twice the length of Ireland, to get here to play a few tunes. You know, and would love to meet another piper. There's none around here that I know. There might be one, but he's not.
Do you play with people in Detroit?
I play with a group called Pat's People, who, by the way, did play in Los Angeles. And
really?
They have not as a program. They have a new record out. And I'm on the record with them. I've never been on record before with them, but we pass people now. And they're originally from Belfast. Ray McGuire, Wallace Hood, and Frank Kennedy. And they played at a place out there, Shaughnessy's, is it?
Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah,
they were out there a couple of years ago and did several, couple of trips out there. And they're really very good. They've gone from what they used to do more into the traditional line now of playing. Mm-hmm. And Wallace Hood, Ray has since acquired a flute and is doing very well on a wood Irish flute. And Wallace has got himself a citron or a bouzouki made by a fella here in Chicago. Dave Weidman, I think his name is. He does an excellent job. Hmm.
Now, is that just a direct borrowing from the Greek instrument, or is it?
Yes, it is, because it has a little bit. The bouzouki mm-hmm. is adaptable to Irish music. Especially when what happens is, you know, the original Greek bouzouki has a rounded back like a mandolin. Well, the Irish way of doing it is they flatten, it's just straight back, flatten like a guitar, flatten the back to bring the instrument closer into the body, and it makes it much better for getting the quick triplets and notes that they have to use in the Irish music, jigs, reels, and horn.
So that's kind of the same way that the banjo has been.
Yes, only the banjo now. The banjo is a good instrument, but the banjo to me is, and to most Irish, like pipers are people, is a sort of loud. It comes on very strong, so banjo playing like sort of obliterates or goes over the top of like the fiddle, or the pipes, or the flute. There's more resonance and there's more of a bang off of it, you know. So it's a good instrument, but it's a bit loud, you know. It comes across over it. So the bouzouki. Is a little softer in tone, like it's like the mandolin is also a nice instrument to play, and I'd say mandolin and mazuki are great. They would also fit into that, and sitar, the same thing, would fit into this group here. Like the softer instruments sort of blend together, you know. Like the same thing now with a nice button accordion, if it's played, well. And like there's one kid here I met, he was out there in Los Angeles, he was an Irish play out there here. I think it started their last match. Billy McComiskey from Brooklyn, New York, America. And he's excellent, absolutely excellent on the button accordion. Excellent player. And I thought he was as good as any I've seen around. And he's American, you know, an excellent player. This Billy McComiskey. I thought he was really good, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, he could really mash out those tones. So, yeah. So this, the button accordion, but it's like I say, this bouzouki has adapted the Irish music by flattening the back. I think the first one that I ever heard playing was a fellow by the name of Donald Lunny, who's in Ireland. He's an excellent, absolutely good bouzouki player. He's all around good guitar singer, but he was the first one that I heard use the bouzouki to good effect in Irish traditional music. There may be more people, you know. But another instrument that I think fits in very well with the thing is the concertina.
Right. Uh-huh.
And there's a fellow there in the west of Ireland, Noel Hill, who's excellent on that, you know. Fiddle player, I think, is Tony Lennon. They have a record out which is very good too, for a blend of instruments like that, you know.
Yeah, another term you're using was the crayon.
Oh, crayon, that's the bottom note on the bottom of the chanter. You'll get that when you get this. That's the bottom hardy, you get a crayon. Mm. That's what they call it, a crayon. And that's one of the peculiarities of the pipes, the inner pipes, anyway. Now you couldn't get that sound on the big pipes because the man with the big pipes has got his chanter out in the air like that, you see, and he would not be able to to put his stop his chanter unless he raises his knee up, like, you know, to get that. Whereas the inner piper has that option of raising, stopping the chanter and pulling it off his knee like this, you see. Which gives us, of course, then you can't march with the inner pipes either. You have to sit down to play them. This is another disadvantage, you know. People call and say, "Oh, we need a piper to play at a wedding." Well, I don't do that. Sit down. Well, how are you going to march out with a couple, you see?
You can't do that.
Or it's, you know, it'd be pretty hard. You're supposed to be dragging on the ground, you see?
Yeah.
So the ailing pipes in that way are more or less for sitting down.
So the
music
you
also.
You can't play military music.
Right. Well, they do play marches on. They play marches.
Yeah.
That. Oh, yeah, they play marches, yeah.
Huh.
They play marches on the pipes. And I'm sure they do. And of course, like I say, the instrument itself has a wide range of capabilities. You can do an awful lot with it, you know.
You're saying this is more versatile in terms of melody than the other pipes?
Oh no, that's all according to what you mean by melody. I mean, I don't mean that, you know, the Highland bagpipes, the Pete Moore, are the purest form of pipes. You know, my father plays them, so I'd better be careful what I say here.
Right.
You know, so like I'm saying, no, and they were played in Ireland. There was as many big pipe players in Ireland today even than there are in Scotland. The big pipes are still big in Ireland, and they've come back. They've made a great comeback. I'm just saying that the Ealing pipes has two octaves, and there are certain tunes which are adapted more into the Ealing pipes because of the fact that you can go into the higher octave.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the P more, you're restricted, not restricted, but they have the music is written for the big pipes, whereas with the Ealing pipes, you could probably play even maybe some modern kind of music on it, like, you know.
Right.
You could play some modern songs, like, you know. Whereas with, you wouldn't do that with a big Highland pipe because it just wouldn't fit. Like, you know. Now, there are some people. There's a man in Ontario, Canada. His name is Gordon Tuck, and he's the pipe major of the Grand McNish Pipe Band in St. Catharines. And another friend of mine, John Scott. And John Scott is an excellent Highland piper, and so is Gordon Tuck, and they're good friends. And this Gordon Tuck has made a couple of albums, and he's brought in, like, you know, like other modern instruments,
oh, yeah,
and made and blended these tunes, modern tunes, that would only be played, say, by a Scottish Ceilidh band, and blended them with the Highland pipes, and he does an excellent job.
Mm.
So it can be done if you have somebody with, say, with this man Tuck's ability to know what to do with pipes. Then, you know, you can get a nice blend here. The pipes can be, you know, adapted.
Blended,
right, right. And there's a man in France, the north of France, his name is Alan Stavell. And Alan Stavell is an excellent Highland piper. He also plays the Celtic harp. And he has been able to bring in, like, the biniou, the French biniou, and the musette to play with the big Highland pipes also. And he plays, of course, the drum, the bowron, which is an Irish thing, the goatskin drum, the one sort of, that is also another instrument used in this kind of music. And this Stavell has done this. And so there are some people around who have broken out with this kind of music. Now, of course, this has been going on since the late 60s, and it's all through the 70s. I don't know. I'm not back there in Europe, so I couldn't say if it is really tearing along or, you know, really going great guns or what. I would hope it is.
Yeah.
They say, like, in Holland and Germany, they're really love this kind of music, so, and that's great news to me.
I think they have certain appreciation for American folk music too.
Oh, sure.
Sometimes more than you know, over here.
Sure. Well, see, of course, like I say, but the American folk music is a derivative of the Scots and Irish music. The Irish jigs and reels, many, many movies, like I've seen, you know, John Wayne have, you know, Irish tunes in them, you know.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, well, all the tunes that we've been recording from these fiddle players.
Sure. You know, like Miss McLeod's Reel is, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and the Turkey in the Straw.
Mm-hmm.
These are all derivatives of Irish music, because many of the people who came here went down south and went into the hills and you know, played their fiddles and their concertinas and stuff like that, and brought them with them, and their mountain dulcimers, which is another instrument, which was formerly called a tin pan, which fits in with the music also, the tin pan, mountain dulcimer, or the hammer dulcimer, it fits into this kind of music also. It's those kind of instruments that come in. I would say the only thing that wouldn't do that I think doesn't, if you have an electrified instrument, like, you know, once you plug in, you seemingly get away from the tradition to sort of get, you have to make certain allowances here. If somebody knows how to play music, or he wants to play Irish music and saxophone, great, you know, it's not traditional though, but it's, let's face it, that's what a man wants to do, great, you know. So.
You
have to be back at the festival. Oh. It was a hornpipe. I think it's, I'm not sure. I think it's the Kingston, I'm not sure. That's, I think that's the name of it.
Kingston hornpipe?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it is. It's nice. It's, I like it. It's an old hornpipe. It's nothing new about it. It's one of the, probably one of the first hornpipes I heard as a young fella playing pipes back in. I think I heard the man that first gave me the inspiration to go into the pipes was a man by the name of Martin Burke. And he lived off Dorset Street in Dublin. And my father used to, when I was 5 or 6 years old, he would take me up there on a Saturday night, and we'd go up there to talk to Martin Burke. He was a reed maker and pipe maker, and we'd go up there, and he lived in a little house, little block house, you know, house up there. And he had tapes of an old Irish piper who was American, really, a man by the name of Patsy Toohey. Patsy Toohey was a great American piper, and he played around the Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, this kind of thing. And he had these cylinders, you know, these wax cylinders that were made, and he had them wrapped in cotton wool, and he'd take them out and put them on the old cylinder round, you know. So you listen to this man here, and of course Patsy Toohey was a great piper, from what I could hear anyway, of what I, you know, he was just marvelous, you know, and a great guy, you know. And that was Martin Burke, anyway, was the first man to play these, you know, things when he'd have me sitting in there while they'd be talking, and I'd be sitting and listening to the cylinders and all, and it would run off, and you'd have to come back in and put it back on again, you know. But that's where I got, more or less, I felt that I got my inspiration to go into the pipe, and then I went over to play pipes, or to learn, or try to learn piping from Mr. Rowson, Leo Rowson, and Leo put up with me for a long time, and I'm still trying to learn how to play the pipes, to be honest with you, you know. Yeah, it takes years, you're always learning something, you know, and you're always trying to learn, you know, trying to improve yourself. But as I say, like, I put in a lot of time. I was 4 years in the service here, you know, and in that whole 4 years, I never did get a chance to get a set of pipes in my hand, and you just played them once in a great while. I never really got back into them again until I saw Liam Flynn played them back up. He probably didn't realize it at the time, but this is a strange thing. I just found out about Liam Flynn being in Ann Arbor. He had played the Philadelphia Folk Festival, and he played it with this American guy, Pat Skye. And Pat Skye brought him to Ann Arbor. They were doing a bunch of gigs, you see. And somebody called me and says, "Al, this good Irish piper's up here, this Liam O'Flynn." Now, Liam O'Flynn is probably, you know, one of the top 8 or 9 pipers in the country. There are a lot of good young Irish pipers in the country, but I'd say Liam O'Flynn and Keenan and Fury are the tops. Like, you know, these guys are the good, really good pipers. And so you're like talking about the Van Cleburns of the Irish Illing pipes, you know. And these fellows are really, they're at it all the time. So Liam was a great, he didn't know it, of course. I just talked him for a few minutes in a restaurant called the Brown Jug in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
And then we went back to a friend of mine, his place, his apartment, and we talked. And then that night, Pat Skye and Liam O'Flynn did this concert at the Yark in Ann Arbor. This place is run by a fellow named Dave Ziegland. Mm-hmm. And Dave Ziegland is very, tries as much as he can to bring in folk music, both American and Irish and English and Scottish folk music. He's big on that, you know. And he does a great job bringing it. But anyway, this is where I saw Liam, and I kind of said to myself, well, I think it's about time you start getting back into the pipes again. There's not that many people. And there wasn't anybody for years, or I hadn't heard of anybody. And nobody. I heard from nobody. I didn't know anybody was playing. Nobody ever got in touch with me. I played in Chicago one time in 1955 for the Chicago Fest, and I was never approached by anybody there about playing pipes or who played pipes. So I was on my own, and most of the piping that I've done since then has been just picked up for myself and from my father, who played the Indian pipes also. He used to play a flat set of pipes, and which is a longer chanter, which is the original Irish pipes. It was a long chanter, and they are about B flat, B sharp, B flat, and this, you know, they're a softer sound. And my father played those pipes, so most of the piping I learned or have picked up has been on my own, you know.
Usually
when I've gone back to Ireland several times, and I listen to the lads over there playing, like, you know, I've listened to, like, you know, the pipers there, Gallagher and Dan Dowd and several of the other pipers, and, you know, Sean Seary and Gabriel McKeown, who's a young Irish piper. I've had him stay at my home. It's right. Gabriel McKeown, and I had Sean Seary stay home, and another man by the name of Peter Carberry, and who's a very a nice man, and he's a good piper too. So I've listened to these people and their records, and, you know, assume and got the tunes from them, you know. So,
do you have anyone in San Francisco?
Yes, there is a man in San Francisco. He was there. I think he's, the last I heard was that he had moved out of there. Dennis Brooks. And I heard it.